you for reminding me. We've done that for that reason, and Kathy was supposed to also remember, and because what happened yesterday, right? It was a little bit crazy. Well, I teach standing up, but I also like to teach sitting down because I like a little bit more of a family environment and just kind of like sit and talk and relax and whatever. But I'm going to do a little icebreaker because, you know, that's how I am. And because I'm not going to have you in here just talking and looking at me, right? And one of the things that I wanted to just kind of give you an overview of why we're here as far as this particular type of workshop, I kept having people call me and email me and want to know, how do I do a citywide gathering? I don't want to just do singles ministry, even though technically we are a citywide gathering. You know, we're not telling them don't come. You know, if you ain't come to our church, you can't come. You know, no, I mean, technically we're all citywide, but there's a difference with an intention of that is what we're about, because we want to involve leaders, not just from our church, but we want to involve church leaders from the community. And then we want them to buy in. And how they buy in, that's the variation. You know, some are going to buy in with a big check. Well, that don't happen too often. Some of them might buy in with a support and prayer. Some might buy in with loaning a pastor to you. Some will buy in by a facility. So there's lots of different ways. But the point is, if it only is yours, and you're the only one doing all the work, it's really just a singles ministry then. It's not really a metro, what I call a metro. That term is used kind of loosely. I use it as like a metro, means metropolitan, which means city. The idea is that, you know, when I hear somebody, they go, I have a metro. In my mind, I'm hearing the word, well, we meet on a regular basis for the purpose of meeting the community, and four or five of our leaders may be from these churches, and we're somewhat separate from our church. Even though we're an extension, we really want the identity to be a community gathering, not First Baptist or First Presbyterian's identity. So that kind of prefaces. So with that, I just want to start us off and just give you a little bit of my background real quick, and let's pray. And then I want to have you guys talk to each other. There's some little whiteboards. And those you kind of, there's one extra board behind you, Kathy, on the table, I'm sorry, for those that are kind of in this back area here. And I guess y'all don't like to sit this close. That's why you kind of move back there. You're like, you want, look, Jim, he wants this room.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Thanks for letting me know that, Jim. Now I will do the opposite with you. No. Well, yeah. I'll just go to him where he's at, you know. I eat, breathe, sleep single adult ministry. I love it so much. I also do church training. I do women's ministries because I love that too. But my heart and soul is really single adult ministry. And I'm a single adult. I've always been single. I'm 43 years old. And I have had some of the best training you could get doing this when there was no such thing as training, when there was no books, a few people winging it, and some of the nods. Yeah, I'm still kind of winging it, Chris. And there's a few things out there. And so my heart was like, Lord, you know, people need resources. And people kept asking me, where do I find this? Where do I find that? And so how I kind of got where I'm at is I became a part of a group by Campus Crusade called Believers Community, but it was put on by Campus Crusade for Christ. And it was like a real metro. It wasn't even a part of a church, per se. And I started off like everybody else. I greeted people at the door and poured coffee. You know, I was like, hey, how y'all doing? Come on in. Even though I had belonged to some really big ministry, I started again at the bottom and worked my way up and did different things, turned the music over because we didn't have no PowerPoint. You know, you turn the music over on the projector and get people excited. And then as time went on, I became the vision that the pastor had at the time was, or the pastor, director, Gary Justice, was that he wanted a metro that connected churches, provided resources and education, leadership development. He wanted them to come and connect, but then go back and build something where you're at. Well, his vision never really got off the ground. It pretty much stayed as a metro, but it never went beyond the walls of that. It never really connected like he had envisioned. So as I was working for him, then God handed the baton to me, and I took over and took the singles network to that level. and God blew out the doors. So not only was there a network within Raleigh and what God was doing in Raleigh, but then it expanded. For you know what? Then people are calling me in Greensboro and Richmond and South Carolina. Come and help us do this. Come and help us build. And I started adding on to the website, and then the website got huge. So everything I get is I glean and I ask other people, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories, and I want to know your backgrounds and what ideas you have, because I don't know it all. I listen to you, and I then put it on paper. Someone says, Chris, we have a great idea for a social that's really been working and it's been effective. We have a great idea for a missions location that you can take some singles to. Then I add it to the website for other people to get from. Good? So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and prepare ourselves. Dear Heavenly Father, we know you are the God of single adults, that you love us so much and that you have so many things that... that you are working in us and through us. And Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for remembering us and as your last breath on the cross and your hands stretched out and every part of your body was dying, you still remembered your mother, a single adult who was widowed, and you remembered her and had John take care of her and for her to take care of John. Thank you that you always provide for us and help us as leaders that we can remember our journey and our struggles and our frustrations as either single adults or married adults so that we will always be sensitive to the needs of those around us who are just not getting it and really don't like where they are. Help us also to build our ministry that it just doesn't reach our walls of our church, but it really goes beyond we could ever imagine. In Christ's name, amen. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. These are the kind of metro citywide ministries. This is just an idea. The reason I did the coffee this morning was a lot of, when you think of metros, you think of coffee. And I wanted to kick it up a notch, the best I could, considering I don't live in Greensboro. But I wanted to give not just coffee, not just a couple little stir-ins or, you know, the same old little side milks, but give you some extra things. Because the point to me of Metro or any type of community gathering is we want excellence. We go to restaurants and we tip. Do we tip to show that we love Jesus? We trust Jesus to provide the money back to us? Or do we tip that shows that we're stingy and selfish? So when we want to do a community-wide gathering, we always want it to be an excellence. We want to go to the next level. We want them to come and be, and while they're there, go, wow, this is cool, this is different than what I'm used to. I can go get this anywhere, but I want them to get something from you different. And it may be greeting. Someone's greeted them that makes them feel different. It may be someone's come alongside of them and just touch them, because single adults never get physical touch. Well, some do, but you know what I mean. Some, you're like, please don't touch me. You know, it may be someone calling you on the phone. It may just be feeling included. My buddy Charles back there is with a ministry called Night on the Town. And I don't know, a couple years ago I asked Charles, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this story. Charles is a part of Believers Community, and he has his own metro called Night on the Town. And if you get a chance today, talk with Charles about what he's doing and how it's up and down and how he's made it work. But a couple years ago I tried to get a hold of Charles. I wanted to send him a Christmas card, and he says, well, I don't give out my address. I said, okay, all right, whatever. He says, well, Chris, you don't realize, I get lots of freaky people come to my house. And I go, really? He goes, yeah, I deal with a lot of weird ex-boyfriends and stuff. I'm going, really? I never ever have that problem in work when I do ministry. Really? He's like, well, you know, Chris, my ministry is, most of the people, a lot of people that come to my ministry don't fit anywhere else. And so it dawned on me, Charles has a ministry of people that are socially, mentally, physically, and psychologically challenged. Some of them are perfectly normal, but for whatever reason, maybe they don't fit completely somewhere else. And some of them are a little whack, and he has to protect himself. And so it was like, wow, a ministry for people to fit that don't quite feel when they walk into a big church like this, they would feel like overwhelmed. Or they walk into a singles ministry and they're all overly beautiful people. You know, they got the perfect clothes and the perfect jobs and they got everything together. His ministry is like, we don't care what you are, we want you to feel comfortable and feel safe. And I'm like, isn't that an incredible, that's a kind of metro. You see, it doesn't have to all look like a cookie cutter coffee house with music and a message. But here's some other ideas. Bible study, a missions, long-term, short-term, service project, professional, senior, adventure-based conference. Navigate is a type of metro. We pull people from all over to come help us build this, and then put it on. Now, granted, we only have the one meeting a year, but it's still it's an idea of bringing together churches to connect and grow and with each other, with the goal of the conference at the end. It created community, and that's the key to remember. So what I want you to do with your little boards, I want you to turn to two or three people, actually three people at least. There's four of you in a group, three or four people, and I want you to just write down some of the types of metros that you've been a part of or that you thought were really good, even if it was your own churches, but how you reached out. And just list some of the things that were key to it. Okay? Introduce yourself and say hey and all that stuff, okay? And maybe if you're with somebody you came with, go to sit somewhere else. Duh. I mean, you know, heaven forbid you meet anybody new today. Would you let me know when there's 5 minutes left?
And 5 minutes left will be what time?
I don't know. I think 12:15. So it'll be 12:10? Yeah, I just put it on hold. Okay. And then she says that. I've been Hitler about it the last day. Make your workshop. I'm the one who made those. Yeah. And I still do. Awesome. Wow. Love it. I could stop. probably sell them at my booth if I had them. But I was going to one time and I thought, you know, Chris, just, you know, got to buy product. And then if you're not doing enough conferences to sell product, then you end up sitting on them for a while. Source for those who've been on it, you'll probably testify. Probably the biggest thing next to Dennis Frank's. Dennis Frank with the Assembly of God, unbelievable other resource. But it's Assemblies of God, so just keep that in mind that when you print it off, if for heaven forbid, your church would be a problem with that. Just understand that it's got his terminology in it. But Dennis is so about reaching the world and not about his denomination. If you ever get a chance to talk to him, and he's one of my mentors. Also, my name is pronounced Swataco. Like I say, Swataco. SWAT team and a taco. And I'm not Indian or Japanese, although that might have been my mama's side. And it's Polish. And so just in case y'all were like, how do you say that chick's name? So what are some of the answers that we had that you've done that you have been successful at that was maybe different or just worked? Because y'all got a big metro at your church.
It's not my church.
Well, that's right. There's a point. There's a good point right there. There's a good point. There's a good point. He got, yeah, Celebration, which is in Tennessee, has a, and you guys do lots of different things. Cause
I'm on their singles leadership team, even though I'm not there.
Right. Maybe we'll just talk about it.
Coffee house. And, a lot of people there got involved in my coffee house because I needed people to help me do this. And as it's grown, everything else has grown too, and we're just working together.
Right.
So Lee asked me to be on the Cedarship Singles leadership team. And
I'm going to tell you, in East Tennessee, they rock. Lee is here. She's a director of singles, and I spoke for just a few minutes at her New Year's Eve. They had a New Year's Eve dance, so about 400 people come to it. In East Tennessee, y'all, I mean, you know, exactly, a huge metropolis, and it is amazing what she does. She's really figured it out, how to do it successfully. But she works her butt off, but she's also a paid employee, which makes a difference, too. Then we did a conference recently. We've done leadership training. So what are some other things? Stacy?
Angela was our writer here.
Okay.
We have a group. It's called So What.
Uh-huh.
And so we have all of these different churches that all have singles ministries, but they're not large, or they're not from a large church. And some of the churches don't have their own singles ministry. So we have we're in the tri-state area. There's three states in our area. And then we have several counties that get together once a month. And there's probably 100 to 200, depending on the activity, getting together. But it's been a good thing to get all these people together that you wouldn't be able to meet. We do things like there's ballroom dance lessons. There's a singles prom kind of thing coming up. There's all these things that there's activities that you can do. And then we have a Christian nightclub that is in our area that has been great. You know, they've got like a smoothie bar and a coffee bar, and there's a lot of bands that come
in. I knew that.
And then they have a singles atmosphere. They've done speed dating. They've done all of these things, but you can come in and you're not worried about someone falling over on you or coming out smelling like an ashtray or whatever. I mean, you go and you can relax, and there's been people that have come in there and actually have thought that it was a different kind of clump and have realized very quickly that it wasn't, and then they ended up, there's one that was saved in there.
So you're really literally going out to where the people are instead of the people having to come to you, which is really the reason why we do. Now, some metros are done at churches, and we're going to talk about the pluses and the minuses of that. There's a lot of pluses, but there's also some minuses. So you have to just kind of decide for yourself, okay? So, Deb, what are you doing at your church?
We just started a Friday night thing that we are trying to reach out throughout the city. But we've only been doing it about 5 or 6 weeks, so it's very, very new. But what we do is it's from 7 to 10:30 every Friday night.
Uh-huh.
They come in and we do worship music, and sometimes somebody will get up and give a testimony. And then after that, in the next 3 hours, we have 5 different rooms with activities going on, and they have a choice. They can go do whatever they want to do.
What a great idea!
So we have a gym, and we do flag volleyball there. And sometimes we'll do like dance lessons or something like that also there. And then we have a book club in one room. We have board games and cards in another room. We have just a coffee house type room where there's things to eat and coffee and just sit and hang out and talk. And then we have a little theater in the kids area. So we use that theater and popcorn and movie.
That is fucking awesome. So that's at a church when it really needs to be at a church because of just what they're encountering.
It's free, so it's everybody, the musicians are all volunteer, all the food or people. So every week they have to sign up to do stuff.
Wow.
To make it work.
Wow. Wow. So how have you been marketing it so far?
We haven't marketed it at all. But we're going to start doing a little more. I kind of just wanted to ease into it. You know, when you first start something, you're not quite sure how it's going to go anyway. So it's like, we don't necessarily want 500 people showing up the first time.
Sure,
so,
sure. It gives you a chance to tweak it and make changes.
And we have. We needed to tweak it a little already, so.
Yeah, we did the pre-conference this year because it allowed people to kind of slowly trickle in throughout the day, and we didn't realize we were going to have such a demand for people to come in on Friday. We had separated. We had done a pastor's workshop that was designed for pastors, staff, and veteran lay leaders, meaning people have been doing it for several years. And 70 of you signed up that weren't in any of those categories or in that range. I mean, we didn't police it, but it just told us there's a hunger for this stuff. Well, people need to learn this. And so we will make changes for next year, you know. But it was great because half of you came in on Friday, and then it didn't hit me all last night, you know, so that was good. So What about on this side? Doug?
Well, we, Jim talked about the one in court has Friday night meals and a potluck, you know. They would furnish the meat and the drink, and then people would potluck. You know, Christians were very good at that. The potluck dinners, suppers. Then they have the young professional group, and then the older singles with children, they have some daycare. I mean, some child care of that. In Nebraska, now, Western Nebraska, people will drive 60, 70, 80 miles to come to church.
Yeah.
And so we, in Western Nebraska, we have several churches we meet together on Tuesday night as a single church. Yes, we got people from 65 down to 30 in that group.
Right.
But they'll drive 60, 70 miles.
Yeah, because there's nothing, yeah.
Because they need that relationship, community, and recently, we did a deal with what's called Mission Nebraska. Went clear across the state, and Ron Brown, who used to be a coach at Nebraska, the main speaker, and some ex-football players in Nebraska. That's our only football team we have. And so, I mean, they're held up, almost idle.
Right.
And so that brings a crowd in, and we 20 churches got together and brought it.
So you found out the needs, you found out what something that was going to draw, and and that was a way to bring them in.
And so we brought that in, and so right now we're planning a singles conference in October, and Dennis is coming out for that. So,
that's good.
We're expecting over 200 people to come to that.
So that's wonderful. No, I was teasing you when I was talking about North Dakota. I was actually in South Dakota, and there were we were at Mount Rushmore. If you've ever been there, it's a beautiful place. And we had about 150 singles, and of the 150, they were literally from all over the state, Montana, and they had driven 500 miles to come to this conference because there's nothing. There's such a hunger. So if you really want to be successful single ministry, just go that way because they'll come. You know, we're spoiled when you live in a big city and there's like a zillion singles and they're like, oh, I may come. I'll wait the last minute because, you know, I got 12 things to choose from tonight. And they're so, you know, so I'm like, you know, fine, I'm going to Wyoming then, you know, they appreciate it, you know. So you have to allow extra time for the travel, but, you know, hey, and a little extra caffeine for the ride home, but, you know. So, okay, how about you, Chris?
Really, there's not a lot going on in our area except for people targeting college and UNC only.
Yeah.
Just here to kind of learn some different ideas.
Yes, Wilmington and I have tried many, many times to try to get ministry going on down there, and it's been a little tough, and it's a big city, so there should be more ministry. What are some other ideas that haven't been mentioned, Trish? Your group here?
Well, Rick was bringing up that they've done like a luau, which I thought sounded really interesting, and they have the New Year's Eve dance.
Yes.
The coffee house.
The luau turned out to be a dance as well, too, so that's luau.
You've done luau's too? Big draw. You know, I forgot to bring this, but someone did a flyer in a church I was at recently down in San Antonio, and they have a mancation. I think it's called mancation, and it's a male singles retreat. And they had a picture of a guy, and he had on all this stuff. He had on some golf clubs and a backpack and some hiking shoes and a fishing hat and a fishing rod. And what it was designed to minister to men where they are, and they go away for the weekend, and they can do all these different activities to build them. And so singles ministries are always a challenge for males. And I'm like, well, men need to build men, because we've already found out in singles ministry that men can build men and women can build men and women, but only women build women. It's really hard, and if your ministry is led by a woman, unless she's paid staff and can put people underneath her that are male and female, but if she's the only person leading it, that's all you're going to get. So we need to come up with great creative ideas citywide, moving them down on this side or this side, whatever, that will minister to guys, because women will show up for anything. We will. If you think about it, the majority of events are women friendly. They're very friendly. There was a man preaching on television about sex and about marriage and purity, and he's doing this big nationwide. He was on the news, CNN or whatever, and it's all for men only. men. And it's like, you know, we don't care if there's a tablecloth. We don't care if there's flowers and ferns. And we don't care if we have a pretty handout. You know, we don't care if it all matches. And he goes, you wouldn't believe how every conference is really a woman's designed it and we just show up. He says, so we put together something that's just for guys. And we just don't care about stuff like that. And I said, you know. And yeah.
That would be easy to put together.
So, but it's again, it's but they did put something together. They put a hiking thing together and a fishing trip together. Whereas women, we don't necessarily need all that kind of stuff. You know, we can just show up and talk. So, but I love the idea is that they're trying to figure out a way to minister to those, not just in their church, but out in the community. Well, let me show you a little quick clip. You've probably seen this a million times, but I love this little clip, and I'll try to tie in the message to it. Okay.
Get her out of my sight.
blood. What in the world does this have to do with this? Well, I teach on Shrek. I love Shrek. And one of the things I love about Shrek is that it's about five single things. Yes, they adults. And their whole, everything about them is about themselves. And what I love about this is what single adults are. This is such an example of all of us. You've got the ogre who nobody seems to understand or care. They judge him. They don't even know him. If you've seen the movie, there's this wonderful scene where he and Donkey are looking at the stars. He says, when I get back to my swamp, I'm going to build a 10-foot wall. He says, I'm going to keep the world out so they can't judge me and hurt me. We've got single adults that are out there, and they're not going to come to your church. I don't care what you put on. You have a pony right out front. They're not going to come. So we have to reach them in other ways. And then you've got some like Donkey, and he just wants a friend. And you know, he's one of them annoying people that shows up in Sunday school, and they don't ever shut up. And they just keep talking and talking and talking. I know, because I used to be one of them. There needs to be like a term for it, you know, X something. And so, you know, and he just saying, I don't have anybody, and I don't know if you caught this, beside me. Beside me. And I love that. That's a little spiritual thing. It's like the way God intended us to be together. You know, and he's saying, I don't have anybody. You've got, of course, Fiona, who is just waiting for the perfect man, and she's trying to figure out what it's going to look like. She's starting to get her whole idea. She's just, you know, hey, he's coming. Oh, yeah. And I love it how God goes, has a whole different idea, doesn't he? And what she ended up getting. And then, of course, the little short king who has little issues, and then dragon. Nobody understands dragon. And they finally do, because she's harsh, and she's mean, and she breathes fire. And people stay away, they're afraid of her, because of how she comes out. Well, then finally, when Donkey's like, you know, you got some clean teeth. Because they're like, right here. And like, some of those people that come at you, and you just want to go, because one, their breath might stink. Or because they don't understand that this isn't my space. You need to move away. Then how do we react to them? Do we embrace them? So a part of, to me, the connection of this and the idea of building a metro is that you think you got some different people in your church. Wait till you go out there. Because a lot of those out there, they're not even in church. They're not learning how to behave. No one's teaching them proper politeness or the way to dress. You're going to deal with lots of issues and struggles. But wow, just like in the movie, when the walls start coming down and people start relating and connecting, look at what can happen. It's amazing. I know with Charles, he has seen transformation of people that have come into his ministry. Some probably have left and they're not any better. They might have even been worse, not because of what he did, but because they've just got issues. But some have grown so much in their walk with the Lord, and they're involved. I love Gloria. It's a perfect example. Did you want to share a little bit about Gloria coming into your ministry?
Gloria was quiet. She got married, and she had an abusive relationship, and her husband was charging her, running up at her, was getting ready to beat her up again. And one side was a frying pan, and the other side was knives, and she chose the frying pan, and she walloped her husband over the head and cold cocked him on the floor. He got up and shook it off, and she left the next day. And she was the quiet person. You just couldn't do anything. And now she's in charge of socials for her Sunday school class, an after event, a believers community, a night on the town.
Oh, you just call her and get her anything done now. She's a totally different person.
And reaches out to everyone.
Yeah. So it's like, are we ready? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for those people who, as we first see them, I don't know what they're going to be. You've already put them in a box and decided what they're going to be. That is going to be some of the challenges, but the rewards are so incredible. Because at one time, my first experience was a metro. I came and just kind of, I called, I hugged the wall for almost 10 months. And it was called Solo, and it's this huge, huge ministry that was 800 in size at one time. And I literally hugged the wall, and I'm not a shy person, but it was just like, it was all so new to me. And then slowly, as people started reaching out to me, and I'll never forget, someone said to me one day, they said, Chris, we'd like you to serve on a conference. Some of you may have heard the story. We'd like you to serve on a conference committee, and we want you to do the banner. And of course, it's a low responsibility job. I mean, if I mess it up, they just get another one. I'm not going to teach nobody. There's nothing spiritual about it. I said, okay, no problem. I can do it. They said, well, you know, you have to meet with the group on a weekly basis. I go, for a banner? Like, well, okay. If you really, I mean, what am I going to say? They go, and the conference is in 11 months. Well, what? You want me to meet with you every week for a banner that's going to take me like 3 days to do? That's crazy. Like, yeah, but you're part of the team. Team. They're like, I all need to be together. And I'm like, well, we can find somebody else to do the banner. And I went, no, I want to do the banner. Because then everybody know I did the banner. There's big, and then I get to go, I did the banner. And they met me where I was. I was flesh. I was all about me. I won, and they knew that. But they also saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So they gave me a little job in their metro to see what I would do with it. So I did that. And they go, oh, by the way, too, we do a devotion every week, too. I went, oh, my gosh, I can open up the Bible, too? So for them, it wasn't just putting on a conference. That's what I was saying. That's an idea. It's about what do we do between now and then to build, to get there. So it's just not about the end or the product or that Friday night with the coffee and the music. It's about the journey that gets you there and the lives that you're changing and the relationships of those people. So for me, they saw something in me. So that's where I started, and I served in what's called sub-leadership. We had a weird name for it called Summit Sec. I have no idea where that came from. And you served there, and that was to kind of get you to see if you had what it took to go to the next level. Because this leadership team was something everybody wanted to be on. And that way it should be. Shouldn't your leadership team be such an honorable position and a value that only the best are picked for it because they've proven it by their walk with God, their commitment, their follow-through? But so much of our single ministry is just like, we're just begging them to come. I just been like, hey, I want to be on the ministry team. Well, you know what? In order for people to really follow through and be committed, it's got to hurt. There's got to be something they give up. You know? That's why I don't do free events. I think it's ridiculous to charge zero for some events. This is a different kind of a thing, but I'm saying like people will give what they put in it with what they get out. And so when people don't pay anything, it's like it doesn't hurt them. So then they call at the last minute to change or not show up or whatever. So I think the same thing in ministry and leadership is that they understand that serving on the team is an honorable position. You're chosen because of what I see in you in Christ. And if it means only five people are on my team, and we only do one event every 6 months because we only have five people, guess what? Five people. Then have 30, and half of them don't show up. Oh yeah, we're big, but there's only 30, you know, there's only half the people showing up. So, what was I going to say? But anyway, I worked my way up, and eventually they asked me to be in leadership, and that was just, but it was a three to 4 year process before that happened. And I'm thankful for that because it's given me a lot to see today. But because somebody saw something in me that I didn't see in myself and was willing to take a chance and a risk, and if I messed up and I didn't follow through, it was no big deal. He'd get somebody else to do a banner. But they met me where I was, just like Shrek, just like Donkey. He's meeting him where he is, and he loves him where he is. He doesn't try to change him. What do I look like? You know, what do you see? Oh, you're really big and green. You know, he doesn't see all the things that Shrek sees about himself. And so that's where we have to make a difference. When people come to your metros, they come and they leave going, there's something different about that. I've been to 10 churches. I've been to so many singles functions. And you just go and you're a number, you just sit down, you're a little praise and worship, you hear a good message, you go home. But when I go there, whoa, man, I gotta go back. There's something about that. I gotta go back. You may have heard me, Kathy, talk about the skunks, the mama skunk and the baby skunk. We're walking along, and the baby skunk says, Mama, what is that smell? They walk by a paper factory. Mama says, I don't know, but I want some of it. And the idea is that do we stink so good that somebody wants something of it? And that's where I want us to take it to the next level. So when I say metro, single, and citywide ministry, I am not just talking about a coffee house. Let's take it to the next level. So let's just go through some of this. And I want to time also Q&A for you. So here's a definition. And by no means is inclusive to this. You can add to this. And what I've talked a little bit about is getting outside the walls, different backgrounds, ages, sex, denominations, typically. But again, depends on what your focus is. If your focus is single parents, duh. If your focus is 30 and up, then you're not gonna design it to fit someone under 30. But typically, you'll see, you know, you want different denominations. Can it all just be Baptist? Sure. But, you know, it depends on if your church is doing all the funding, they might say it needs to be focused towards Baptists, but we'll let anybody come in. But we're a Baptist band. So, and if somebody may show up who's not, they're okay with that. But, you know, it can be sort of supported or ran by the church. However, more people involved from other churches are going to facilitate more growth. I like having more people involved from other churches, just because it's not all on me. Its purpose is to reach the saved and the lost that haven't necessarily been working the way you're doing it now. It's a different way of doing it that may reach people that you're not able to reach. And it also provides opportunities to branch off. Out of Believers Community and Not in the Town kind of got formed, and then Swamp got formed, which was Singles Without a Meal Plan, was a summer thing that Charles did. And there's just, I mean, people can break, you know, I always tell people that, you know, if you're going to, if you want to start a book club or you want to start, you know, movie night or whatever, first of all, you don't need the church to do it. You can just do it. But understand, if the church's name on it, then there's a responsibility the church has. But if you just want to do something, then do it. I mean, if God calls you to have a women's Bible study in your house, just do it. Don't wait for somebody to tell you. But there's pluses and minuses. If you don't have the church over you, you don't have any accountability. You don't have anybody to protect you. You know, you don't have anybody that's going to market it for you. So there's minuses. But at the same time, if you're called and your church says, I'm just not ready to do those things, then I don't see why you just still can't do it. But it still needs to have a spiritual accountability, which is what we're going to get into, talk a little bit more in just a second. It's the flexibility of trying non-traditional methods to reach people. Isn't that cool? Non-traditional methods. Taking water bottles out in the park, you know, having your label on it. Popsicles in the park are great things. Some of you are, Deb, I love your ideas of just having those different rooms. And because you can't, you know, one size doesn't fit all. You know, my brother hates praise and worship in church. Loathes it. Well, he's been going to this big pink, I call it the Pink Palace in Charlotte, Calvary. Huge mega church, right? He says, I think they sing for 45 minutes, you know, and he doesn't like to sing. He can't sing. He has a horrible voice. And he says, I hate this clap and raising hands. That's just not me. Well, might be a little whole spirit issue, but anyway. So he found a new church where they have an overflow room with tables and chairs. And he loves it because he can take his Bible and he can write notes because I'm there for the message. I'm not there for that other part. And I go, okay, one day he might be there for that other part. But that's where he's at. And I think that's cool. So having something, understanding that if you're only going to do one type of thing, it's only going to reach one type of audience. If you want to do a bigger thing, having a variety and understanding, you know, the conference that I just did at Celebration Church, it's just the most amazing conference I think I've ever been a part of. It's on building relationships that last. Any of you want to do in a phenomenal conference, not to boast myself in this sense, but the reason I'm boasting about it is the band that came played after I spoke. They affirmed and applied the Word of God based on their music after I spoke in each session. And it was powerful. And part of that, too, was to give a change. Everybody's used to music, and they sit down, and they have to listen for 5 hours, just like even today. You know, and so by about 3 in the afternoon, you're like, that's the ceiling. You know, I mean, you're like, you're brain dead. And so I wanted, you know, let's do something to where they're still energized. And they were still energized. But 3 in the afternoon, people were still engaging in a relationship with God through worship. That the message was there, but then they got to hear it applied. And that was powerful because we're just trying to, again, do something a little different. So kind of mess with them. Because they're expecting A, let's give them B. Because maybe they'll learn in a little bit different way and it'll stay in here versus just going out the door. Because you know that's what the devil does. He snatches it right away from you as soon as you learn it. He's going to try to do that with this weekend too. So I got to go back over your notes. I love to go over my notes and use them as a prayer time for the next week. It just kind of helps you retain all the information. Obviously, you can move locations, theme, quicker than a traditional church. Questions to ask before you start. You guys can look over this. Why do you want to build it? What are your goals, your target audience? How you plan on reaching them? How well do you know your city? How well do you know other churches that may be doing something in your city? If you want to do a citywide event, and that might take you 6 months to get to know all the different people in the churches around you. And don't assume, because this church isn't exactly like you think it should be, or you know, or maybe it, you heard it's the old people's church or whatever. Don't assume anything. You need to get to know them, because I'll tell you why. When single adults come into your metro, they're going to want to know, as they get to know you, well, where could I go to church? The more you know about the churches there, the more you're going to be able to send them. Because they may come in and go, you know, I don't really want a big singles group. I'm really into traditional, older churches. I like a church that has, you know, maybe older people. Because the thing I'm seeing today is people are noticing all the new churches, the seeker churches, are missing old people. And I love old people because they know a lot. And so, and to me, it's like I miss that. So I get singles that ask me, they don't have, you know, I immediately think, oh, they probably want that big mega church with 500 singles ministry. No, not everybody wants that. So the more you know of what's in your community, the more you can network. All right? And then you build relationships. And then when you want to have a little leadership retreat or a leadership gathering, then you can contact the churches and say, well, you know, Susan Q and Bob from your church have been coming. Did I turn this back on? You know, I just thought about that. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Susan Q and Bob have been coming from your church. And just want to let you know. And the pastor's like, really? Well, you know, we don't have a singles minister here. I'm glad Susan Q and Bob are able to come and be a part of that. I've heard some things. This is typical, especially in rural areas. Very typical. You'll have two or one. And to say, well, you know, we would love to do a leadership retreat. Do you think it'd be possible that you could pay for your two singles to come to it? And the church usually goes, sure. See, that's how you involve, because now all of a sudden, you're like, but Pastor, I would really love if you could come as well. So you could see the needs of single adults. And you'd be amazed, but you can't have that if you don't have a relationship. You know? I mean, I'm going to tell you, most of you know, I've either called you or emailed you personally and asked you, what, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? And how do I get away with it? Because I know you, Jeff, don't I? I'm like, Jeff, you ain't put your registrations in. Get your registrations in. Because I've built up a relationship over years. So sometimes in order to be successful in metros, is there has to be a relationship with churches in the community for a while. So it's not going to just be... I hear people's frustrations is like, well, I called every church and we told them about our event. They just didn't come. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they have to sell it. And if they don't understand it or believe it or have ownership of it, then they're not going to come. Why do we have more people come to this like this conference? Well, part of our volunteers are Christ Community, Lawndale. We have Calvary Church up the road has come. Volunteers from Raleigh came. So the more churches involved and they volunteer, the more you're going to have success as far as reaching people. But you build, you know, you want ownership from these other churches. So you said, well, could you do the coffee for our event? You know, that's not a lot of job. That's not a lot, you know. Or could you sponsor a couple people to come? So on and so forth. All metros, citywide, you need three important things. These are the three things for any ministry, guys. Prayer, pastoral support, which is church support, ministry and leadership development. You guys, you can go on my website. I have all kinds of free things. One of them is how to start a singles ministry. Most of you should already be at that level. But if you do not keep prayer in your ministry, it will die. I'm not talking about when we pray, we get together. I'm talking about consistent weekly prayer. Like every Sunday morning, you take 5 minutes. I'll go grab a married person. I don't care. Well, you're praying over that ministry. And it's consistent so you can see what God. I like to keep a journal. Second is pastoral support. You can do a metro without a church's support, but it's hard. And having church buy-in is really important. What I like is when they buy in, but they don't tell me how to run it. Okay? You know, they give respect to me that I know a little bit about what I'm doing. But I want my pastor to know about it. I want him to know what I'm doing. I want not only support with prayer and encouragement, but finances as well. I want the use of facilities if I need it. So I have to have a really good communication with my pastor to understand what I'm doing. But at the same time, he knows that I'm doing outreach. And so it's not something that needs to be micromanaged that, you know, we're kind of over there. But you know what I love is when you do a metro where you have a speaker and the speakers are all the pastors from all the churches that you're trying to get involved. So these churches maybe are here haven't gotten involved yet, but you get the pastor to come and speak. You know what I'm saying? There's ways to get them involved. But to me, it's important to have pastoral support and that accountability, you know, just to doing what you're doing, checking and doing what you're doing. There was a metro that met down east in North Carolina that I'm thankful that is gone. And this was one that met on a monthly basis, and the guy who ran it basically ran it to have dates. And so he would bring in a Christian. I know what I'm talking about. He'd bring in a Christian speaker, a little Christian band. And so the concept, it was at a local restaurant. It was the back of the restaurant, a nice big room. It was, you know, $7 to eat, and that included, which is great. You know, it was not in a church, but he literally used it. And when he had a date, then it kind of just went downhill when he had employees dating, and then he didn't have someone dating. And this went on for like 12, 13 years. And so it's just, I'm so glad to say that it's gone, because it wasn't doing the work. And why it wasn't doing the work of the Lord the way it should have is because he had no accountability. He had no church at all that just even checked in on him. Nylatown has Crossroads. Technically, Nylatown is not a part of Crossroads, but there's accountability there. You know, understand the difference. Okay, and the leadership development. You got to be able to train your leaders, guys. You can't do it by yourself. So you got to send them to things like this. You got to have some training where you're at. Training on teamwork, training on accountability, training on their quiet time. You constantly need to be building leaders, because guess what? Single adults, healthy single adults get married. Healthy single adults move to other parts of the church and other churches. And healthy single adults just move. And there's a constant change out. Do you know that of the 235, 40 people that are registered for this conference, I would say that 80% of you were never here before. You know? So it's just a turnover. Even in leadership, the turnover is so high. So if we don't build new leaders, in 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, we quit. Because I'm just tired. I'm doing it all. Nobody help me. I'm by myself and nobody. I try to get somebody to help me. They don't help me. Right? I tried, Chris. I've sent out emails. I've yelled at the front. I passed out flyers. I just don't want to help. Well, then maybe it's not supposed to happen. Maybe it's supposed to be just a Bible study. That's all it's going to be. It's not going to be this big, gigantic thing. I mean, you have to have people to help you, but you have to train them. So it might take 6 months of you coming alongside two or three people and training them and mentoring them and discipling them and praying for what God's going to have you do before you even do it. But we just want to do it right now because people have been wanting socials. Mm-hmm. That's not the reason why you do a ministry, because people need something to do. I call socials strategic fellowships. They may look like a cookout, it may look like a coffee house, it may look like an activity, a dance, but you got leaders spread out everywhere that are building people and connecting to people and finding people and coming alongside them. And how you doing? I don't know you. Where are you from? That kind of thing. You know, that is, it's an intentional purpose of people coming together. It still looks like a social to the world, but you know there's things happening behind the scenes. Because if you just want to cook out and have hamburgers, well, you don't need no churches to do it. You know, but if you put church's name on it, you better make sure what you're doing. Because that church has now become responsible for that event. Positives, it's a way to meet people, backgrounds, a way for people to network, a place for singles to go where there's nowhere else to go. It grows the kingdom. Drawbacks, obviously, if without a particular church underwriting, you have to raise your own money, build leaders, provide training. Location can be a challenge, high turnover of leaders. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I love that scripture. So where do you start? Well, here's just some basic stuff, guys. Obviously, prayer. Duh. Right? Church support. I'm going to go talk to my church and just see how they want to help me. A lot of pastors have no clue what singles ministry is. They think it's just getting people dates. You know, they don't understand anything. They think bringing a divorce care program in a church will cause divorce. I'm always curious about that one and go, well, you know, I've yet to meet a divorced person that said they loved it and would like to do it, go through it again. You know? You know, there's such an ignorance. So a lot of times it's building a relationship with your pastor so he understands who you are. So you may feel, God has called me to build a community-wide gathering, but first maybe I need to build up some relationships with people in the church so they can see that I don't have cooties, you know, I don't have leprosy, I am a single adult, and it won't rub off on your marriage, you know? And there to be a relationship. I used to sit down the front for years so my pastor would see me and I could smile and go, I'm a single adult, remember? And I put sticky notes on his podium to remind him that he needed to include singles in his sermon. You know, and then I started doing greeting ministry, and I actually started being on the back side of the church, and that was a little bit different. You can believe how many single adults come in your church on Sunday morning that never nobody knows they're there. There's nobody greets them, nobody talks to them, nobody looks for, you know, rings and trying to connect to them. We've got so many coming to us before we even have to go out there, but then there's this whole group. They're not there because statistically, if you look at the church, where are they? They're not here. So, and they're not going to come. I mean, some will, but majority won't. So we still have to be out there to try to build it. So, important to have a church support. Involve pastors, deacons, leaders, individuals. Focus on those who've done a citywide ministry before, including those in other states. On my website, I've tried to find a singles ministry. Okay, churches that are listed on my website have singles ministry of some kind. Either they have a divorce care, a grief share, a total singles ministry or Sunday school class. And my goal was that every state in the country I would have represented, and I do have every state represented. But as you go farther out west in the Midwest, it was a challenge to find Wyoming and Montana and Idaho, to find anything at all. And like even divorce care, there's like one or two divorce cares. And so at least if they had divorce care, that means there's some singles, I'm thinking, right? So at least there's something, because I don't want anybody in this country to ever say there's nowhere to go. And so I want to just continue to add. So if they say to me, you know, Chris, where can I go to get connected to single adults? Then at least in their state, even if it has to be a drive, for some of them, like you said, they'll drive. They'll go because there's nothing. Next thing you want to do is obviously start meeting together and praying to make decisions, assign positions, develop accountability teams, stay in course. On my website, I have job descriptions of everything you can think of in single adult ministry. You can start there, start your own. But the point is, you start meeting with people who have a vision or a goal, or thinking that I'd like to be a part of this, but I don't really know what I want to do. Some of the people on your team are going to be doing one job, and then 6 months from now, they're going to be doing a different job. So it doesn't really matter in that regard, but just understanding that we need to get people positions so they know what's expected of them and what to get done. There's two types of ministry structures. There's one's called relational and one's called like a pyramid. Okay, I like the combination of both, and I'm going to just draw this real quick for you. And this is on my website too. But relational is Susie cooks and Bob prays and Joan does marketing and Tom teaches. Okay, that's relational ministry. We're one big circle. Okay? Right? Well, this is great, and then sometimes Bob, he may cook, and then sometimes Sushi teaches, and sometimes Phil, he does marketing. Everybody just kind of jumps in and helps when we need help. It just all gets done. Well, but it doesn't grow. It's a circle. It never grows. It just kind of stays there. We all just keep helping each other, but it kind of just stays right there. The pyramid is you have a director. You might have co-directors under particular, and then under there you'll have your team, which, you know, marketing, prayer, administration, whatever. And then under theirs, they'll have their teams. Okay? Well, this is kind of called the hierarchy structure. Well, hierarchy is great. If it's a combination of the two, it's hierarchy by itself where, well, Bob's in charge of prayer and Bob doesn't give a flip what marketing does. And Sue's in charge of socials, but she doesn't give a flip what prayer does. They do their job. They only do their job. That's a hierarchy structure. Well, problem I have with that, that's not what God is. Okay, this is great for corporations. You hear people, I'm sorry, I got the wrong person on the phone. You have to call Susie Q in charge of this product or that product. I like the combination of both of them. Where the guy in prayer, he might have 5 people on his team, right? And one of those 5 people also happens to be on this team. And a person under socials cooks every now and then happens to also be the co-director. So we all know what's going on. We're all relating and connecting to each other, but at the same time, we know exactly what our jobs are. And we know what's expected of us. I like doing contracts. I like people to know there's an end. That in 6 months, I don't like what I'm doing, I can get out of it. In 6 months, you don't like what I'm doing, you can get out of it. You know? And it's a way for people to be held accountable to what they're doing, and it builds structure. Okay? I always like to compare it to a shoe. If you have a shoe, and everybody has a different part of the shoe to make, the shoelace and the tongue, the sole, right? And you're like, well, I can do the shoelaces, but I guess I can, you know, I can do the tongue. I don't really know how to do the tongue, but I can do the tongue. And then maybe next week, I guess I can try the sole. Well, the shoe might get built, but who knows what it's going to look like. But if everybody has their job, I'm the shoelace person. I'm the tongue person. But I also got training to do the tongue and the shoelaces, but this is my main job. You're going to get a product that's going to work. And so that's just important. As you build this, understanding too, you may have 2-3 people that have this vision of what they want to do, but you need to start building your team and assigning positions and holding people accountable to what's responsible for those positions. What are you expecting back from them? And so there's a checklist to make sure everybody's on the same place. I found out one of my staff people doesn't have a computer at home. And so I've been emailing her left and right. She's not even getting any of my emails. Because she can't check them at work. So unless she goes to the library, she doesn't know I've ever emailed her. And so I didn't know. So I was wondering why she wasn't doing her job. Well, now I know why. So you have to stay in that communication, understand where people are at. And my mom was sick. I was out of town 3-4 days, you know, whatever. To stay in a relationship with them to make sure the product, what you need to get done gets done. Let's go on here. We're finishing up our time here. Work on your goals and your vision for the ministry. Develop a budget. Obviously, a church can provide. You can do fundraisers, donations. You can charge for admission, a love offering. Funding comes from lots of different places. If the church can be a buy-in, that's okay. That's y'all. Just all of a sudden, you're wrapping up here. Thanks a lot, Greg. Just interrupt me. Be noisy. Sorry. No. I should have said nothing. No, we're staying for another hour. There's a challenge always with money. You know, depending on how much money you have, depends on what you can do. Well, I don't know what I want to do until I know how much money. Right? So sometimes it comes out of your pocket. You pray you get it back. The first 2 years Navigate, we didn't make any money. We were in the hole. I think we maybe broke even this year. Maybe. We're not even sure. But we know that because it takes a while to build something. You're going to go in the hole. So having churches that will underwrite part of it and write off the debt, that's what happened. Chris's church wrote off the debt the first 2 years. You know, for us, because they wanted to invest. So some of your money can come out of your pocket. You might be at the last minute buying donuts and not even turning in the receipt, whatever. But it's because God is bigger and sees ahead of you, and He's going to give it back to you. You know. But if you can get churches, but if they give money, what do you have to do to get the money? What do they expect from you? And they want their name on the top of it. I mean, whatever. So just keep that in mind. But fundraisers are sometimes good. Doing car washes and different things like that can help. Mission, if you're doing a mission trip, metro, definitely fundraisers are a great way to do it. And then personal fundraising. Find a location. Here are the two options I mentioned before. A church is free of charge, but it limits outsiders from visiting the first time. People also think that the metro, the singles ministry, is sponsored only by that church and that denomination. I had people that contacted me and wanted to know why we were in a Baptist church. Were we a Baptist event? And I just said, well, because they offered. You know, and if Pentecostal Holiness Church offered, we go there. I mean, you know, we're not trying to be. And I said, well, if you look at our speakers, we have a little bit of everything. You know, so we're not teaching theology here. So, but again, people are going to make that assumption. You may have to start off in your church the first time and do something. And that's just the way it is because of funding. But your goal may be, well, there's this wonderful activity center downtown. It's a coffee house / gym. We're praying that God will let us use that in a year. Or maybe there's a building you need to upfit. And you're going to raise money to upfit it to be able to use it. Whatever. Or maybe churches will take turns. And there'll be it's called a community network. And you'll have five churches on your website. And all five churches take turns being a part of this network. And the coffee house moves around. Then people can see that it's not, you know. That leads us kind of into the next one, which is developing a marketing plan, including a website. If you don't have a website today for stuff that we're doing, you're in the dark ages. I'm going to tell you what, because 95% of the people that registered for this conference did it online, we found out. So that's where everybody is at, you know, and there's a few people that don't, you know, they're just where they are. But developing some type of marketing plan, idea of how to get the word out, business card, pins, whatever works for you, doing strange stuff, being creative, you know, whatever it takes, you have to set it in your head. You know, I used to have, when I was just doing Raleigh ministry, I had the Singles Network posted on the back of my car because I did local job placement and just did things to help singles sell your car. And I'll tell you how many people found me through that. And of course, some people found me that I didn't like too. But is this where you get hooked up? I'm like, to Jesus. I'm like, what? And then I realized, you know, it just said the Singles Network. And I'm like, you know, I think that too. But I took up with somebody else that had already marketed it for 10 years. I'm not going to remarket it. But I added ministries on the end of it, just to kind of clarify. But I recently had a special person who came down from Maine and got a hotel room in Raleigh and started calling my ministry line over and over and over, asking for someone to bring a woman to his hotel room. I had to keep calling back saying, sir, I'm not that kind of company. So, anyway, I thought about just showing up with the Bible and hit him with it. No, anyway. Yeah. Sexy other. Yeah. Decorations, you know, obviously your decoration, your layout, all that's going to depend on your audience that you're focusing on. Develop a plan on when to start and your expectations. Don't be in a hurry. You know, Deb, you're like, we're easing into this. You know, we're not going to do a big marketing campaign. We're going to make sure all of our things that we've done wrong or that are not working, we're going to first work on that and tweak it. But she can afford, thank you, sweetie, you can afford to do that because she's at the church and she's also paid staff. But if you're a lay leader and you're not able to use your church and you're like, wow, we want the first one to be a wow, well, then you got to market it and plan it out. But don't make it next month. Plan it out 6 months from now. But yeah, everybody wants it now. Who's everybody? God, did God say it has to be next month? Yeah, but I just want it now. I'm like, I know. But, you know, let's be strategic and let's be intentional and let's make sure God is all over it. And let's build a huge team of people to make it excellent, not, you know. Stay flexible. The audience is going to change. What works this year may not work next year. Evaluate often so you know where you are and where you want to be. And have a way to measure the success of the fruit. For some of you, it's going to be purely numbers. Some of you, it's going to be changed lives. Some of you, it's going to be people, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, we had success. We've had 20 people get married. I go, Well, I'm thankful for that. And even recently, and it is, you know, but marriage is not, I mean, you're not successful then. Or marriage is, oh, I'm now happy. I'm living happily ever after. So I'm always wondering, so I'm not living happily ever after because I'm single? You know, it's a little terminology there. But the reality is, when we do have marriages that are in Christ, it is a level of success because we've brought them together. The church has got out of the dating business. It needs to get back in it. It needs to be preparing people to get married. It needs to be teaching them how to date and how to have friendship and get along with people. We push that aside. We're so afraid of it to think we're going to meet meat market. We need to be the best meat market there is. But we need to teach them how to meet and do it in a healthy way. And finally, those are some extra resources that are on my site just that I had just mentioned. All Metro's citywide ministry should be done intentionality, strategic, and created with excellence. Don't be in a hurry. Enjoy the journey and making relationships, building community, and learning from God. Remember, it's your journey too. So it's exciting to build those relationships. And, you know, how do I have all these speakers here? Because I have relationships with all of them. That's why they're here. And you know, I don't know if y'all know this, all of our speakers are here for free. None of them get paid. That's how we keep the price low. They come here, they drive, they fly on their own money. So when you see one of them today, let them know, thank you, Jesus, that you are here. Because that's how we keep the excellence of our speakers so that you get the best. Let me close with two little things. We got 3 minutes. Yeah. All the believers were in one heart and one and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from sales, and put it on the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had a need. Isn't that awesome? Let's go and teach the world the scripture. But we got to start with ourselves. And let's start with a cup of coffee as a step in my cheesy gift that I'm giving you. Give me some help. And these are chocolate coffee candies. They're inside. And I'm going to be short. I only have 20. So if you know me really well, don't take one. But I'm sorry. Jeff will help you. You got it? But the idea of this is you start with a cup of coffee, which is what today was, to serve you a cup of coffee. And to remind you, you know, put your coffee cup somewhere when you get back to remind you that it starts with a conversation, with a cup of coffee. Yeah, you know what, that little girly mug. And now let's just get up, and we've got 2 minutes, and let's just get up and hold hands and pray to close this out. And I think we should give Chris a big hand. Thank you. Well, I hope it is. Metro, you know, you realize that we could probably do an all-day workshop on just metros and sit and discuss all the things that you've done and the problems. And that's another thing, too, is I was hoping we had time to talk about some of the challenges that you've been facing and the frustrations. But you see who each other is, and you remember who shared what story about what metro they're doing. Find some time to talk, if you can, at lunch. Sit with people you don't know for the pure reason of just exchanging information. Get each other's phone numbers and call each other up and just say, okay, what would that, you know, Deb would be like, I'd love to find out more about what she's doing and just get, because I want to put that on my website. What a great idea is to list ways of success and some things that you're challenged with that you keep trying, but it just keeps failing. You're trying, it keeps failing. But please call me and let me help you in any way that I can to make it successful for you, because I don't want you to give up, okay? We do this because we want to charge you to get you pumped, because otherwise it singles ministry just kind of takes all of the life out of you, you know? And so we gotta keep ourselves going. Amen? So let me turn this off. Thank you, Lord.